Hello and welcome. You're with timesofindia.com. This is the TOI Sportscast podcast. My name is Akash Dasgupta, and on this episode today of the TOI Sportscast, we are going to be looking ahead to the UEFA Champions League semi-finals, the final four teams that are standing. That's been decided. And to talk about that and much more for an overall view, really, of how the season has been and who the players and the coaches have been who really stood out. It's my pleasure to introduce my guest for this episode, Ashley Westwood. He's, of course, a former footballer and a renowned coach. Our fans here in India will know him all too well. Of course, he's been associated with teams like Bengaluru FC, who he led to two I-League titles in three seasons, as well as the Fed Cup title in 2015. He's also been with ATK and also Round Glass Punjab. Ashley, it's a pleasure to have you back on TOI Sportscast. You've been here before. Thanks for joining me again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Now, talking about the semi-final lineup, Ashley, first up, it's Real Madrid versus Manchester City. The first leg will be played on the 9th of May, 10th early morning in India at the Bernabeu. And then, of course, at the Etihad on the 17th, which is 18th early morning India time. And then we have the two Italian clubs going up against each other. In fact, the two Milan clubs, Inter and AC Milan. First leg on the 10th of May, 11th in India, and the second leg on the 16th, 17th in India. So if you look at the four clubs, one Spanish club, who are also the holders, one English club and two Italian clubs. Any club which you thought would be in the final four, which didn't make the semis, stuck?
Yeah, I think, the way that Napoli was playing in the early rounds, obviously beat Liverpool 4. You know, they've been in massive, fantastic form in the league. So it surprised me that they didn't get into the latter stages. Obviously, Bayern Munich were a favourite. They the only team to win every single group game and, win it convincingly. But unfortunately for those, they faced Manchester City, so only one. You know, I thought both would make the final four, but obviously with them meeting in the quarterfinal, that made that impossible. So I think Napoli and Bayern Munich are missed for me, who I expected to possibly be there. But the way, you know, the fixtures come and the way that the draw's made, it's not always the best teams that get to the final stages. Sometimes you've got to have a little bit of luck. Sometimes you've got to avoid a few people. And obviously, even Benfica, the way Benfica were playing at one stage, they were kind of dark horses, but obviously, you know, faltered against Inter Milan. So the four teams that are there deserve to be there on merit. You know, Inter Milan have beaten Benfica, which is no easy feat across two legs. AC Milan have beaten Napoli, that are incredibly a good attacking side that score so many goals. And then obviously Manchester City took care of Bayern Munich, which is very tough, and Real Madrid took care of Chelsea. So it's an interesting makeup. I don't think anybody expected possibly two Italian teams to get to the last four, but it certainly, you know, you couldn't call it. They're so tightly matched. Arguably, Manchester City or Real Madrid might have been an ideal final, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, Italy are thankful that one of their teams are going to make the final.
Absolutely. In fact, talking about Napoli, who you mentioned, I want to talk to you about Spalletti also in just a bit. But first up, wanted to focus more on the semi-final lineup. Between these two clashes, Ashley, which one would you say is the real marquee clash? Would you lean towards Real versus City, given their current form in their respective leagues in La Liga and EPL?
Yeah, it has to be. Obviously, Madrid are the champions. Manchester City are still on for the treble, which would be incredible. They're doing so well to have turned the tables on Arsenal when it was looking like it was possibly going to be Arsenal's. Just shows you the kind of form they're in. And obviously, Guardiola against Ancelotti. The repeat of the semi-final last year when Manchester City were in the driving seat and threw it away at the Bernabeu. It certainly has to be the marquee one. And, you know, with those two managers, like I've mentioned, Guardiola and Ancelotti, one of them's going to get to the final. And again, should we say, and hopefully for me, it's Manchester City.
You mentioned the treble that City are chasing, Ashley. They're playing, of course, the FA Cup final against United on the 3rd of June. You would say that this is a team, this current City team, is one that deserves to win the treble. We've heard from someone like Xavi also, who said that they deserve to win the treble under Pep.
I mean, they deserve to win something, but football's not always like that. It can be cruel. I mean, they've been so well equipped the last three or four seasons in the Champions League. and not quite done it. I even think back to the Tottenham game, the two legs against Tottenham Hotspur, where I couldn't believe they didn't win that one. It looked like they was going to win it. But, you know, they have been doing things a bit differently this season. You know, they've found an unbelievable striker in Haaland, 50 goals. They've changed tactically a little bit in games. They've been, you know, really fluid in their football. They've been defensively sound, you know, to counter-attacking teams against them, which hasn't always happened in past seasons. So they've done something different again. It's not just a repeat of last season. They seem to get stronger and stronger. Mm. And when you see them play against Arsenal, who everyone was talking about winning the league in England, they played them three times and completely played them off the park and just showed you that, you know, how good they are and how far they can go with a team like Arsenal being really silenced. It just shows you how strong Manchester City are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Ashley is joining us live from Sydney currently. It's past 6 p.m. There in Sydney. Thank you to Ashley for joining us and making time to talk to us here at Sportscast. The next question that I wanted to ask you, Ashley, is if you had to pick five players across both teams, Real and City, who you think are going to really leave their mark on this semi-final clash over both legs, who would you pick?
Well, everyone, you'd have to pick Haaland. Good to see him back on the penalties as well at the weekend, because he took a penalty in the Champions League and missed, but then he took a penalty at the weekend. So that is telling me that maybe he could get on the penalties, which, you know, when we're looking at finer margins in semi-finals, there's always a penalty somewhere because it's so fiercely contested. Vinicius Junior is dangerous. We've seen him in the previous games, the acceleration that he possesses. You know, he could possibly leave his mark on a semi-final. Lilao is dangerous for AC Milan. He seems to do these driving runs with pace. You know, he's a player that can catch the eye. I really like Bernardo Silva at the minute at Manchester City. He's been doing very, very well. And you can't forget Kevin De Bruyne. Now, that is fairly biased, you would say, to Manchester City. But there's many, you know, Brian Diaz is a tricky winger that actually came from Manchester City, who's playing for AC Milan. That's in good form. Lautaro Martinez for Inter Milan is a player that can create, you know, moments of brilliance and score goals. And there's so many players, you know, Modric, Cruz at Real Madrid. Benzema always seems to find the goal in the big games. We really are spoiled for choice. But if I had to pick five, I'd go Haaland, Bernardo Silva, De Bruyne, Lilao, and Vinicius Junior. That would be my five.
Right, that's a good list, Ashley. That's a world-class list, really, that you picked. I wanted to also talk to you about a few underrated players in particular. And this is spread across both the semi-final clashes. First up, I wanted to start by asking you about Thibaut Courtois. Now, we know just how good he is, but do you feel that he doesn't always get the recognition that he deserves? He's, of course, part of a star-studded Real team. He made some really crucial saves against Liverpool in the round of 16 and then again against Chelsea in the quarters. Would you call him the best goalkeeper in the world? A lot of experts feel that he's the best goalie in the World Cup.
I wouldn't call him the best goalkeeper in the world, if I'm being honest. I obviously respect him and understand, and I've seen the world-class saves he's been making. I just think nowadays, the best goalkeeper in the world has to be incredible with his feet because of the way that teams play and play out from the back. He's good with his feet, don't get me wrong, but he's not incredible with his feet. When you look at somebody like Edison or sometimes even Alisson at Liverpool, you know, their distribution can be fantastic with their feet. So I think he doesn't quite have that for me, but he has kept Real Madrid in big moments and pulled out big saves at big times in games where things could have been different. And he's obviously a world-class goalkeeper. And just like anything with goalkeepers, the older you get, the more games you get, the better you become, because it is about decision-making predominantly. It is about experience and being in that position time and time again. And that's something that Courtois now possesses because of his experience. So he's got the know-how now. He's made big saves and he knows, you know, he can call on instincts, he can call on experience to make those big saves.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the next player that I wanted to talk to you about, Ashley, from a goalkeeper, wanted to move to a forward, Rafael Leao, the Portuguese forward. He really across different matches, of course, he was very good, but he really showed us what he's capable of truly when they played Napoli, bursting from his own half before setting up Olivier Giroud for a goal. Your take on Rafael Leão, and if you think he's still sort of an underrated player?
I wouldn't say he's underrated. He's 23 years of age now. I would say he's inconsistent, if I'm being honest. You know, I've watched him a lot across, you know, the league. In the big games, he seems to do it. Sometimes maybe he doesn't work as hard as you would like. He's not a consistent 90-minute worker, but he's certainly got lots of potential. You know, he's got unbelievable pace, balance. You know, he can take defenders on individually 1v1 and go both ways. You know, he can sustain his pace across bursting runs that we've seen in the Champions League, 50, 60, 70 metre runs, where he seems to get stronger. But I think for me, if I was, you know, a football club and I had 80, 90, 100 million pounds to spare, would I like to see a little bit more of him? Because I still think at the age of 23, you know, he can be inconsistent. And if I had to pick between Vinicius Junior and Leão, I think there's no contest. I would go Vinicius Junior because I think he does it more regular. And he seems to have a little bit better desire than Leão, should I say. But don't get me wrong, it wouldn't surprise me if he takes this game or the ball, should we say, by two horns and really imposes himself, because it's a big game and he can do it. Whether he can do it away on a Tuesday night at Torino is another matter. That's what he's got to get into his game now. That's what the world-class players do. That's what your Benzemas do. You know, that's what your De Bruyne's do. They do it week in, week out, and they don't let their standards drop. And I think that's something that he has to now add to his game if he's going to be a world-class striker.
Right. But he does have the potential to be that. You talked about him yourself when you were talking about the players who could possibly leave a mark in the semi-finals clash. So that's something, of course, that we need to look forward to as well. The other player, the next player that I want to talk to you about, Ashley, was Mike Maignan, the French AC Milan keeper. Would you say he's really in very, very good form and almost sort of unstoppable between the posts right now? He, of course, did also play a crucial role in AC making the sevens.
Yes, certainly did. And like I've mentioned before on earlier interviews, AC Milan have had five clean sheets until the last game. And they only conceded in the last minute from a corner when obviously, you know, Napoli have chucked everybody in the foot into the box because it's the last minute and there may be an overload. So if it wasn't for that, they would have kept six out of six clean sheets. And if you look at the teams they've played, that's incredible form. You know, it's a combination of the defence and the goalkeeper. But to keep five clean sheets at the latter stages of the Champions League, when you're talking about round of 16s, when you're talking about quarterfinals, that's incredible. And it just shows you the kind of form that he's in. And the strength of AC Milan, which is keeping those clean sheets.
Yep, absolutely. Last player that I want to talk to you about on this list, Ashley, is Jack Grealish. He, of course, plays in a team which already has the likes of De Bruyne, Haaland, Rodri, etc. In that context, would you say that he's sometimes underrated? He, though, has really fit into Pep's scheme of things rather well.
Yeah, I think, obviously, when he originally went to Manchester City, with a £100 million price tag, you know, there's a lot of expectation on him. He's had to change his game a little bit from what he's done at Aston Villa. At Aston Villa, you know, you play on the counter-attack, you can be exciting, and you find teams stretched, and it's, you know, a little bit easier maybe for him to take players on. When you're at Manchester City, the emphasis is keeping the ball and not losing it. So I think it's took him a while to have the confidence, you know, to beat players, to risk losing that ball, because it is such pressure on a player at Manchester City to keep that ball, to retain the ball. And now he's shown us that he's coming to his own. I think Guardiola's recognised his talents, obviously seen it in training across the two seasons or however long he's been there. And he really trusts him. And when you're keeping out players like Phil Foden and Mahrez, it shows you that you must be doing something right, because they're world-class players in their own rights. And Jack Grealish now seems to be one of the first names on the team sheet in that wide left position. You know, he's showing his pace, he's showing his fitness, he's showing that he can drift past players, he's popping up with the odd goal, and he's providing some key assists now. And he's shown, you know, what the price tag, why it was 100 million, because he's showing now and he's repaying it with his form.
Absolutely. We're running out of time, Ashley, but I just wanted to squeeze in maybe last couple of questions for you. Very quickly, which is the player battle that you're looking forward to the most in the semis? And if I could give you a couple of options, please feel free to add any of your own. Say Luka Modric against Kevin De Bruyne, Rudiger versus Haaland, and Dumfries versus Lillard.
Yeah, I mean, all those are very attractive. I think Dumfries against Lillard will be difficult because Dumfries likes to attack. He likes to stay wide and play as a wing back. So you may find that it's more of a central defender that's coming up against Lillard. And the one that you didn't mention to me, which I'm not sure if it will happen, but I've got a feeling it might, would be Kyle Walker against Vinicius Jr. Because City need to be careful of Vinicius Jr. because of his pace. They have been playing three central defenders, but I think that'll be a risk. So if Guardiola goes to a four, I think we could see Kyle Walker, because we know how quick he is playing against Vinicius Jr. And that would be a very, very key battle. But there's many all over the pitch. Modric against De Bruyne. Again, I think that would be more, it possibly could be Valverde against De Bruyne, because Modric may be a little bit further forward and Valverde may be the one that's been, you know, the one that has to take care of De Bruyne. And I think, if I remember rightly, Militao could be suspended for Real Madrid. So, it will be Rudiger against Haaland, which will be, you know, obviously as physical as it gets, a massive centre forward that his physicalities everybody understands and appreciates. And Rudiger, who can be a force in the air as well, that also pops up with goals from set pieces. So that could be a very interesting encounter as well.
Right. One quick word, Ashley, on Erling Haaland. I mean, one could say that if Michael Phelps was built to swim, Haaland was built to play football. I mean, he was, the first teenager to score in five straight Champions League games in the 1920 season. The next season, he was the top goal scorer when he was playing for Dortmund. He's really, again, fit, someone who's fit right into Pep's vision, hasn't he?
Well, I think he has. I mean, if, you know, he's got four or five hat-tricks this season already, but it's probably only the last 3 months that people have started to say, and appreciate what he is. The first 3 or 4 months in the season, even though he was scoring for fun, everybody was telling that he's made Manchester City worse because they're not playing with a false number nine. And although he's scoring all the goals, Man City were, you know, losing the odd game. They were losing momentum in the league and everybody was blaming Haaland. You know, he's come through that. So not only his performances, it shows the mentality of him, that even though he's been tested of his character and of his performances, you know, he scored 50 goals and he hasn't let it bother him at all. It's been a great signing. It's been that, you know, missing link that Manchester City have missed over the next seasons, and it could be the difference. I mean, he's a natural, I wouldn't say he's a natural born goal scorer, which sounds stupid because he scored 50, but it's the desire and the hunger to score goals that sets him apart. You know, he's not happy. We've seen him this season on two goals a few times get substituted and be really disappointed because he's not been allowed to stay on the pitch to get his hat-trick, or he's not been allowed to stay on and get his goal tally up, I'm sure. And I know he trusts Guardiola, but he wants to stay on. He wants to score more goals. He's not happy with scoring 2 and 3. He's not even happy to score 50. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if he goes on to score 60 this season because he's so desperate to score goals. And I think that's what sets him apart. You know, he can have all the money he wants. I'm sure we're going to see it over the next 10 years. You know, he could switch off now and be a multi-millionaire, but I don't think he cares about money. I don't think he cares about anything apart from scoring goals.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. He's a real force of nature, isn't he? One quick word, Ashley, on the coach of the tournament. Many feel that that title perhaps should go to Spalletti, even though Napoli couldn't make the semis cut, but they did push AC Milan hard in the quarters. Your pick for the coach of the tournament?
Well, if we're looking at who's there, you know, Ancelotti is always reserved, but always seems to find a way. You know, if they are to beat Manchester City, it would certainly go to him. I think Guardiola, for me, would be key. You know, he did, you know, a number over Tuchel, obviously, at Bayern Munich with his tactics. You know, he's been inventive. He's chopped and changed his tactics. He chopped and changed his style at times. So I think for somebody that's showed variation, I would go with Guardiola. Of course, you know, Spalletti, if they were to have advanced with Napoli, would have been right up there, but they didn't find a way really against AC Milan. They played AC Milan, got beat 4-0 in the league. They played them twice in the Champions League within the space of two and a half weeks. And they only scored one goal, really, which showing you that he just missed something towards the end. So at the minute, in the driving seat for me, is Guardiola.
Guardiola. Well, that's not a surprising choice, really, Ashley. Final question for you. If you had to pick the final lineup, which two teams will make the final? I know it's still a long way to go before we reach the final, but if you had to pick the two teams, who would you pick?
Yeah, I think Manchester City and AC Milan, to be honest. And if that was the final, I'd expect Manchester City to win it. Yeah. But it's obviously all on this game. I think what's going to be key is the second leg is now in Manchester, where the second leg last year was in Madrid and the crowd was a huge difference. Mm. And I think that's a little switch and an advantage for Manchester City.
Right. So your vote going for City to go all the way. All the City fans, of course, are going to be very happy to hear that, Ashley. And as far as Champions League action goes, as well as Ashley Westwood's analysis, you can catch it all on the Sony Sports Network, across the Sony Sports Network, really, also on Sony Live. Ashley, always a pleasure to have you here. I apologize for taking more time than I said I would, but it's always such a great experience to talk to you. Always have a good time. So thank you so much for joining us on this podcast again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thank you. Thank you.